Welcome to the online ministry of La Jolla United Methodist Church, a congregation of faithful Christians along the beautiful Southern California coast. Together we seek to grow in individual spirituality and in community with one another. All are invited to join in this vibrant faith community. More information can be found on our website at lajollaunitedmethodist.org. May you be enriched in the hearing of these words, and may you receive and enjoy God's blessing.
Today's scripture lesson is from 2 Kings 4, verses 38 to 44 from the Continuing Education Bible. When Elisha returned to Gilgal, there was a famine in the land. A group of prophets was sitting before him. He said to his servant, "Put on the big pot and cook some stew for the prophets." So one of them went out to the field to gather plants. He found a wild vine and gathered wild gourds from it, filling his garment. He came and cut them up into the pot of stew, but no one knew what they were. The stew was served to the men, but as they started to eat it, they cried out and said, "This is death in this pot, man of God." They couldn't eat it. Elisha said, "Get some flour." He threw it into the pot and said, "Serve the people so they can eat." At that point, there was nothing bad left in the pot. A man came from Baal Shalisha, bringing the man of God some bread from the early produce, 20 loaves of barley bread and fresh grain from his bag. Elijah said, "Give it to the people so they can eat." His servant said, "How can I feed 100 men with this?" Elijah said, "Give it to the people so they can eat. This is what the Lord says, eat and there will be leftovers." So the servant gave the food to them. They ate and had leftovers, in agreement with the Lord's word. The next verse is from Matthew 14, 13 to 21. When Jesus heard about John, he withdrew in a boat to a deserted place by himself. When the crowds learned this, they followed him on foot from the cities. When Jesus arrived and saw a large crowd, he had compassion for them and healed those who were sick. That evening, his disciples came and said to him, "This is an isolated place, and it's getting late. Send the crowds away so they can go into the villages and buy food for themselves." But Jesus said to them, "There's no need to send them away. You give them something to eat." They replied, "We have nothing here except 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish." He said, "Bring them here to me." He ordered the crowds to sit down on the grass. He took the 5 loaves of bread and the 2 fish, looked up to heaven, blessed them and broke the loaves apart and gave them to his disciples. Then the disciples gave them to the crowds. Everyone ate until they were full, and they filled 12 baskets with the leftovers. About 5,000 men plus women and children had eaten. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Amen.
As members of La Jolla United Methodist Church,
we promise,
we pledge,
we commit to faithfully participate in its ministries
with our prayers, our presence,
our gifts,
our service,
and our witness.
As members of La Jolla United Methodist Church,
we commit to give our whole selves
as a response to God's generous love
and an outpouring of ever-growing hope.
Join us as a community,
as a church family,
as a connection.
I am excited right now. I don't know if you've realized it, you probably have, but there's some God moments going on this Sunday in our planning certain things separately, yet it's all coming together. That's definitely a God thing. We're about to discuss leftovers. Okay, and Carolyn talked about stoves for the Guatemala project. I had a different children's lesson planned that was more craft related, but I found out that some children and youth couldn't be here this morning and I didn't want them to miss out. So I changed the lesson just last night to this illustration with utensils. Our scripture is about the multiplication of food. And just now, Carolyn said at the very end of her presentation, "Will you say, 'Here I am, Lord?'" And "Here I am, Lord," is our final hymn this morning. We did not plan that. I would love to pretend like we did, right? And, "Oh, I'm such a genius, brought it all together." Nope. God had a plan, exactly. I love it when God does that. I love it when God makes pastors look good. It's great. So before I reimagined our children's lesson for today, I entitled this homily, Plus One Service, in keeping with the series theme. But after today's children's blessing, the illustration, I think I should have entitled it, "How to Be a Spoon." That would have been more apt. So the spoon may just make an impromptu appearance during the sermon. You're just going to need to pay attention and see when it shows up, all right? So I have a question for everyone. Have you ever been to someone's house, maybe someone you really like, maybe a family member, and they insist you stay for dinner? Or maybe they invited you over for dinner. I don't know about you, but there's nothing that I like more than free food, especially if it's free food with people that I love. So have you ever been there? You're with people you love at their house, ready to eat. It smells good. You say grace, and then the food's kind of terrible. You ever been there? So you want to be nice, you know. They did invite you after all, and you don't want to be rude, so you just, you know, eat it really fast. Or maybe suddenly you're just so full, I couldn't possibly eat another bite, right? Don't y'all start looking around at each other now. I can make this joke because I have been there, not as the person eating the food, but as the person who had cooked the food, all right? And that is a separate story. I would normally put it in the sermon, but I promise this would be a homily, which is a short sermon, so I am willing to tell that story to anyone who wants to know out on the patio, all right? So if you've ever been there and you kind of, you know, suddenly got full, or you kind of ate quickly, the food wasn't that good, but you don't want to be rude, so you go home and maybe have a bowl of cereal or something, right? Well, if you were that gracious, then you were much nicer than the prophets from 2 Kings. I guess the prophets have really never been known for their restraint or diplomacy, but to say to Elijah, "There is death in that pot, man of God," I think you could only ever say that once at someone's house. You wouldn't have to worry about an invitation back. That seems a bit dramatic to me, but all right, they're prophets. They have a right to be dramatic. And they refused to eat it. There was a famine, and they still refused to eat it. Amazing. I've gone most of my life actually unaware of this story from 2 Kings. I knew the story of Jesus feeding the 5,000 since I was little, but not this parallel story about Elijah feeding 100 people during a famine. But the people present in Jesus' day when this happened, they would have known the story. And the people in the early church, as they heard this story about Jesus feeding 5,000 people, actually it was closer to 10,000 when you include women and children, 10,000 people, then they would have also recalled this story about Elijah. As the story of Jesus feeding the 5,000 or 10,000 spread throughout its oral history and eventually written history in the Gospels, the early church would have certainly noticed the parallels between Jesus and Elisha feeding many people with only a small amount of food. It is so hard for me to believe that the prophets wouldn't eat the soup Elijah made for them, considering they were experiencing a famine. But we actually don't have to look very far into our own history for examples of people acting out and making bad decisions in the middle of a health crisis. So I won't judge them too harshly. Elijah took the leftover stew and put some flour in it. I don't know why, because I am also not a good cook. Someone can explain that to me later. But he put some flour in the leftover stew, and he used that along with some bread and grain from a man's first produce or first harvest. Does anyone know what first harvest means here in this context? It means the best. The first harvest is the best of what he had. So he brought him a portion of his best food and grain harvested that year. So Elijah took the worst of the leftovers and the best of the harvest and fed his people. Now fast forward to Jesus now, feeding the 5,000 to 10,000. His people are also in a famine, but this is a spiritual famine. A famine of compassion, a famine of care, a famine of cooperation. Under Roman rule, they were oppressed, and that same kind of oppression, along with corruption, had begun to seep into their local religious and political structures. There was a famine in that land. It was a famine of care, a famine of compassion. So amidst a famine of care, Jesus also uses leftovers to feed his people. He told his disciples, "You feed them." And they said, "We only have these leftover fish and a little bit of bread." And that was all right. See, God can use even our leftovers in service to others. I'm preaching to myself right now, but I'll ask you too, how many of you feel like some days all you got left to spare is your leftovers? Hallelujah, got testimony over there, all right. In our current spiritual famine of care, I don't know about you, but I want to fix everything that is broken. I want to give to everyone in need. But some days, like all of us, all I've got left over, all I've got is leftover compassion. What is left after I deal with my own issues, my family, my needs? All I've got some days is whatever happens to be left over. I think we can all relate to that, especially during the height of COVID. But this is the good news, that God can use anything, even our leftovers. Elijah shows us that God uses our leftovers and multiplies them in service to others. Jesus shows us how God uses leftover bread and fish to feed thousands of people. God can even use our leftover compassion, our old tired compassion, in service to others. Most of us are not called into full-time monastic life or called to join Mother Teresa's order and give all that we have. Most of us are just trying to get by, trying to navigate a pandemic, trying to go about our lives in a famine of compassion. The good news is that God knows this, knows our hearts, knows our pain and our struggles, knows how much we have, and God says, "Don't worry. I can use whatever you've got left over and multiply it for my kingdom." In Matthew, the disciples had nothing to give, no food, no money. They were probably hungry and tired themselves. Maybe they also wanted to escape the crowds. But instead, Jesus asked them to serve the crowd. He didn't ask for much, just serve the leftover fish and bread. So they took that little bit, they acted on faith with what little they had, and God worked a miracle. Today in our modern world, we often ask God to do something. I know I do in my prayers. We ask God to feed the hungry. And then Jesus turns around and says, "You feed them." We ask God to do something about homelessness, and Jesus says, "You feed them." In our spiritual famine, we ask God for a revival of compassion, and Jesus says, "You feed them." You feed that revival. Elijah fed his followers. Jesus taught us how to be the hands of Christ who feed one another. Jesus will use our leftovers. We only have to show up. Jesus will provide the food. We only have to be the spoon. Amen. Amen. Every Sunday, we have had a stewardship moment, and we are going to hear now from someone else who is showing up and being the spoon.
Jesus is a church with our prayers, our presence, our gifts, our service, and our witness. Which one makes you think, I'm really good at that? That's an easy promise to make. Which one of those is like that for you?
I believe it's the prayer. It's just like talking to God constantly in my own life. Wherever I go, I just feel that I can talk to Him anytime, anything. And I even pray for the church. So I thought, this is the easiest thing for me.
Yeah, I guess I'm going to give a rambling answer because each of the five promises has its own challenges. And I don't feel that I'm good at any one of them. Okay, let's take presence. Okay, that's relatively easy. But when we make an effort to come to church and attend the functions, like the sermons, the concerts and so on. But when we do that, I actually benefit. So I can't claim any credit for doing that. When it comes to service, we are willing to provide service, but my skill set is so narrow that I find that very often all I can do is provide physical labor. And anybody can do what I do at these functions. And so I very often question whether it's worth it, with my trouble, to be there to maybe help move the tables, whatever. So I think what we work on is gifts. In a way, it's to make up for the shortcomings we have in the other areas. But I guess much more importantly is because I feel so blessed in my life. And there's far more than I have earned or deserve. So I would like to share my blessings with others who are facing more challenges so they can have more hope in their lives. And I think especially I feel for young children from maybe homeless parents, wherever. And I hope that through my giving, I could put some hope, more hope into their lives. But I generally don't think I'm good at any one of those, but I work at them.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Well, that leads really well into my next question. When it comes to prayers, presence, gifts, service, and witness, which of those feels like it's among the hardest for you?
Mine is witnessing. Because witnessing in two different ways. You can tell people about the gospel and tell them how you've been blessed and so forth. But actually, people are looking at your action, your way of life. They can tell. You cannot lie to their eyes because we have to admit we are human, we have motive. Sometimes those self-motive is not pure. And we have to be very careful to fool ourselves and say that I'm trying to glorify God, but actually we are doing the opposite thing. So just like for my family, and also the friends who knew us the longest, because they really have seen our old selves. And if we don't show any changes, I don't think they will be convinced about our faith. Yeah, I think that's the hardest.
For me, it's the same thing as witnessing. You know, as Grace said, you can witness through your words and your actions. And generally, I do not have any problems with expressing my thanks to God, but I typically find it difficult then to share my faith unless I'm asked. And I think partly it's because I have this strong feeling against imposing my views on others, but I think far more is this fear of rejection. So I tell myself that maybe I should witness through my actions. But there are not that many opportunities where your actions can allow you to distinguish yourself from this typical good person who tries to be nice to others and so on. So generally, I feel that I have this obstacle to being an effective witness for God. I need to work on that, but it's not easy.
Well, one of the things that we do, one of the things that we promise to do, especially during this time of year when we, you know, send out mailings and pledge cards, we pledge to support the church in the coming year. Why do you give to support La Jolla United Methodist Church?
I believe it's a sense of belonging, because we have made the decision come back to La Jolla for our church instead of going to our former Chinese church. That decision already took shape once we enter into La Jolla Church. We have decided nowhere else that we will go back to. And that really feel good.
I guess I never really asked myself why. It's something that you expect that you would do. I guess in part, of course, it's what La Jolla United Methodist Church does for us and also for others. But I guess you are going to ask the next question, so I'll wait.
Well, you once again, you lead well into the next question. What, you know, the church budget includes a lot of things, keeping the lights on, and staff salaries and facilities costs. But what is your favorite thing to support?
I have no particular favorite things to support.
Yeah, I guess also I feel like the church is a whole, and it says all these parts, but they all work together. So you are supporting this whole. But as far as like what I really like about what the church does is the fact that it's not just internally focused. It's also externally focused to provide help and guidance and spiritual guidance and so on to those who are outside of the church, who are facing challenges in life. And I feel that all the church members really are a very blessed group of people, and we really should share our blessings with those people who are not quite as fortunate in various ways. So that part I really like is that external focus part of what the church does.
Thank you. The last question I have for you is, what's a gift that the church has given to you?
Externally, I receive a lot of friendship. And internally, I receive the peace and contentment.
Yeah, for me, I guess it's a sense of community. There is a home for me to search spiritual growth and to continue walking in the path of the Lord. And it's much easier if you have other people on the same journey with you, and we help each other, because all of us face challenges and we all have our shortcomings. So I love the fact that we are a loving community of faithfuls, and we try to work, do whatever would please the Lord.